All right, guys, a quick reminder, all right? I'm just telling you this again because we tell you this on the episode too, but a notice at the top of the show. If you are not interested in hearing major plot points of the Warcraft movie, even though you may be, you know, familiar with the game, if you are, then you're probably not in for much of a surprise here. But if you are not wanting to hear a bunch of spoiler talk about the movie Warcraft, then you probably don't want to listen to this special episode. Okay, I just want to give you guys all fair warning because Terpster's seen it twice and he goes in deep about what's going on. So he and I talk at length about very specific plot points and stuff that happens in the film. If that is something you don't like, then don't listen to this. If you do, absolutely do listen to it. And I might even encourage some people to like not worry about spoilers and listen anyway, because I think this is a great conversation about not only the movie, but some of the stuff surrounding the movie, whether or not this thing gets sequels, all that kind of stuff. So anyway, there's something in there for everybody if you want it. But if you don't want to hear that stuff, fair warning. Okay, I've said my piece. Here we go.
You're listening to The Instance.
Hey everybody, welcome back to The Instance, a weird episode of The Instance, a special one really, not weird, it's special. I'm Scott
Much
Johnson.
Like me.
Yeah, like you, you're special.
I'm weird.
You and weird. And
I'm especially weird.
And you're Terpster, which is a rare sighting here on the show lately.
It is a very rare sighting, but Scott said, don't worry, Dills and Patrick aren't there, and I said, okay, I'm in then. That's what it is.
That's what I thought. We're doing kind of a special one-off. This isn't even live. We have no chat room for this because the subject matter of what
that
we're
going
to...
That was the other thing I said. I said, there's no chat room, right?
Yeah, there's no people.
And I said, I'm in.
Yeah, you don't want people involved. Forget it.
I'm always available, Scott. I'm very particular about the people I work alongside.
Sure. You have virtual remote agoraphobia. You cannot stand to be around a bunch of people even if they're not in the same room.
No, Scott,
you.
Not at all. Please. Yeah. I'm just better than everyone. So,
oh, wow. Yeah, okay.
That's the thing. And I'm really up myself. So it's a triple whammy. But it's good to be here. So it's been too long.
It has
I don't
been
know.
Far
I, I
too
hate
long.
To count the weeks, nay, months since my last instancing.
Yeah, part of it has been because Frenchie's in a different country and, you know, there's stuff going on that way. But also, what's crazy is since you were last here, you've seen the Warcraft movie not once, but twice.
Yeah.
Is a third time planned, or are you good until VHS or VHS till DVD or
until VHS? I'm not going to see it again until it's out on VHS. Maybe Betamax. I've still got one of those somewhere. Yes, and the problem is the people that I would see it with,
yeah,
have seen it with me already. Mm. And I don't know.
Well, let me ask you a question about that. So to give people a little heads up, this entire conversation is going to be about the Warcraft movie. We're going to talk
super spoilery, guys.
Very spoilery. Please, yeah.
If you don't want to have it ruined, okay. All I'll say up front is I personally very much enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's not a spoiler. We knew it.
But
yeah.
It's obviously. I read one review which said it's the Battlefield Earth of our generation.
Yeah, I've heard that.
I don't know. You're gonna find people fall on either side. I haven't heard many people who enjoy Warcraft, be it the RTS or World of Warcraft, that haven't enjoyed it. But that's what we'll talk about.
That's an important distinction. It seems to be that people who enjoy it are people who already enjoyed the games or come to it from the game side, and those who don't seem to be reviewers who don't have a lot of connection to the game.
I think so. That's my perspective as someone who enjoyed watching it. And again, if you're going to leave us now because of spoilers, I thank you for tuning in.
Yeah.
And I apologize for cutting your episode short.
Yeah. Thanks for downloading this 90 or so megabyte file.
At the same time, if you've played the original RTS games, it's not that dissimilar.
Yeah, they didn't. They took some liberties, but for the most part, the core story is what was from the games, right? I mean,
Metzen described it as the Ultimates version of Warcraft lore. So, yeah. Like in Marvel, you have the Ultimate series, sure. Like, you know, where Spider-Man and Iron Man, you know, that's their kind of cool, new, rethought, matured origin story.
Yeah,
that's how they see the Warcraft movie, as I understand it.
Okay,
So if they had some sort of janky characters in there to begin with that they were like, oh, I'm not really sure if this one stands up as well. I mean, this was a, you know, of its time, then things are hopefully slightly more resolved. But at the same time, there are certain concessions made potentially to make, you know, things easier for a mass movie going audience to understand.
Sure.
That may take stuff away from the film. But again, we're going to talk about that now.
Okay.
So thanks so for here's tuning the plan. In.
Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for downloading this huge file and not
exactly.
Being
hopefully we contributed towards your data cap. That's great. make sure to follow me on Twitter, V_T, Scott at Scott Johnson, Willie Deals for Deals, yeah. And Not Patrick for Patrick.
Yeah.
Listen to this show and more at frogpants.com.
Yeah.
And I can't really remember the rest of the outro, but yeah. Here's
the frogpants. Yeah, there you go. Okay, now we're back. All right. So,
okay.
So okay, I got some questions about what you just said, actually, before we dive too deep into this.
Let's do it.
So when you went to L.A. for the first screening, you were there.
Have you seen me? Have you seen me in the Warcraft movie? Have you seen my video?
Yeah, I did see that.
Yeah.
That I'm going to make an assumption that does not appear in the actual film. but
it's a wise assumption to make.
Yeah, yes. It's pretty good though. People should see it if you haven't seen it. Now, when you were there at the screening, Duncan Jones was there. Actors were there. All that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So you got a chance to talk to those guys. Did you, outside of what I've seen from the stuff you did for your Yogg's video, did you get anything out of them that was, I don't know, insightful about the movie or anything about the creation of it?
Paula Patton apparently hadn't seen it till London, which I found a bit strange because she was in LA and stuff like that. I don't know if that was just how she wanted to react, you know, after the screening. She was like, wow, that was amazing. Yeah, that's the first time I've seen it. I don't know if that's like her stick and she does that all the time.
Yeah.
Duncan Jones said, for example, with Garona. So Garona Half-Orcan is her full name, and she's a half-orc.
Yeah.
She's meant to bridge the two tales, the two sides. You've got the orcs on one side and the humans on the other. In our game narrative, she's half-orc, half-Draenei, which makes sense because the Draenei are on Draenor. They are the first assaulted people of the orcs in our lore.
Yeah.
And
if you get a Draenei, if you get a Draenei and an orc drunk one night, things can happen.
Well, I think it was more of a kind of product of like war raping and pillaging, basically.
Oh my.
So
okay.
Exactly. It's quite dark. It's quite dark. And then so Garona's brought up, but she's still like this person who kind of interacts with the Alliance and King Lane and is part of that story. However, in the film, rather than being half orc, half Draenei, they make a half orc, half human.
Oh.
And that's something that isn't really touched on in the film and yet is a change they made. So actually, knowing that she's half human, it doesn't ever really explicitly say it. And so I was thinking like, oh, actually is she? And basically, cutting room floor. It's one of the many things that Duncan Jones had. And it apparently, up until a very recent variant of the film, there was a scene which dealt with Garona's history and kind of where she comes from. She's basically in chains from the beginning of the film, and she acts as like a translator for between the orcs and the other races. She seems to have a gift.
So wait a minute though. If she's on her planet of Draenor, is that where she is?
Yes.
Okay. So, but how did a human get there?
So, well, exactly. That's what we don't know.
All right.
And the thing is that, for example, so again, I mean, this is just, I'm just going to have to spoil things.
Yeah, spoil it all. It's all good here on out. Go for it.
Film opens up.
Keep in mind, people, I have not seen this movie yet, so I am willingly taking these spoilers right to the face. Okay, go ahead.
So, film opens up. You've got Durotan doing a voiceover about, you know, the orcs and humans have been at war for many years and stuff like that. You know, it's eternity and stuff like that. And you've just got this nameless orc and this nameless human Stormwind soldier. And I believe this was the footage shown at a Comic-Con a while ago.
Yeah, where he clinks his sword and shield together.
Exactly. And then it just finishes with an orc kind of bringing a hammer down. And you're just thinking, like, there's no way anyone's going to be able to stand up to that.
Yeah.
This is like an 8-foot-tall orc. It's insane. But you're just like, whoa, I'm buzzed.
Sure.
Then it cuts to Durotan looking all pensive. And if you remember at BlizzCon when they showed a trailer, they showed the emotion on the orc face. Yeah. Now, that's Durotan. That's Toby Kebbell.
Yeah.
And he's lit by a campfire in his yurt with his wife, Draka, who's pregnant with their baby. And they're kind of discussing, you know, what I've thought up some names, Draka's saying. And he's like, hush, woman, I'll decide what the name is. I'm the chieftain.
So this was all very reminiscent to your fatherhood experiences.
Oh, and, definitely. Sure. But the thing is that they're laughing and embracing, and they are alive.
Yeah.
So straight from the beginning, you've got these completely CG characters that are performance captured. That for me at least, there was no sort of, oh my God, look how good that great. It was just like, oh, these are real things. These are real orcs. These are real people. Mm. And so they're doing that, and then you come out of that hut, and they're walking towards what we know as I was going to say, it's not Hellfire Citadel.
Hellfire.
So where the Dark Portal is,
yeah.
And basically what you learn is that Draenor's falling apart. You know, it's all been that it's dying. It's a dying world.
Yeah.
And so Gul'dan, who's this dark warlock sorcerer of the Horde,
a-hole,
risen to power.
Yeah. Is he like a power? When you say risen to power, is he like?
Isn't the war chief. Okay. He isn't the top chieftain.
Yeah.
But he is at the same time. He's in essence in control because he controls the Fel.
So he's like Wormtongue or that.
He isn't like Wormtongue. He's like Saruman.
Okay.
He is the Dark Lord. He is the big Kahina.
Yeah.
But he is not War Chief of the Horde. That is Blackhand.
Okay.
So the Fel. It's not Fel magic. They don't call it Fel magic. It's just called the Fel.
Okay.
And forevermore will be called the Fel.
All right. I don't like that as much.
It's jarring. I don't know why it is, but it is. The Fel is the source of power that the orcs are now using. And they use it to power this great giant demonic gateway of the Dark Portal.
Yeah.
That portal is paid for in life. And so they've got loads and loads of captured Draenei in cages. So you see the Draenei straight up and it's like, oh, I didn't know the Draenei were in this. Mm. And that's because they're not. They are just in this shot.
Okay.
So you go in there and Gul'dan's walking along with his chained up slave Leia Garona, this Draenei mother grabs Garona by the hand arm and says, you know, like, please let my child go, you know, just let my baby go. And then Gul'dan's like, what did she say? And she's like, well, she said let her baby go. And he's like, no, I need them. I need all the life.
Everything.
Exactly, yeah. It is. And so you're like, what? And so basically, Gul'dan fires up the Fel magic,
yeah,
and fires up the Dark Portal. Yeah. Massive, beautiful spectacle where he draws in all their life forces, which is all these big white streams of energy go into him, and then he chucks his hand out and all this green energy comes forth from him, spills into the portal, sets it alight, and you see the glimmering world of the Black Morass, just the Morass, I think it's called, the Eastern Kingdoms.
Right.
And then he says, look, we've only got enough Draenei to send through our very best warriors. Okay. We're going to have to go through this portal and capture these weak beings on the other side, these humans. And we will gather them up and get enough of them that we can bring for the whole of the Orc Horde. And we will leave this dying land and take their world.
So hold on, it takes so what is it, like an individual person represents a battery per orc?
They don't go into the ratio.
Okay.
There's lots of Draenei in cages,
yeah,
and there's a fair few orcs go through, but that's the concept. So they are now going to Azeroth through the Dark Portal, and they have to go because they need to get more people on the other side to then bring everyone through, and everyone has to go through because the world is dying.
Yeah, I got it.
So they have to leave.
Yeah.
Now, Draka and Durotan.
Hold on, back up. Are the Draenei look like they get the horns and they look like Draenei?
Yeah, they look like Draenei. You only see a Draenei female really up close.
Okay.
But basically, when they get all the life sucked out of them, they turn into like withering husks. They look like. Do you remember the Diablo 3 Reaper of Souls cinematic, the opening one?
Oh,
where
right.
Haradrim got sucked all the life out of them.
Sure.
Kind of like that.
Oh, okay.
You just become like these husks of a being.
Yeah.
So then. Draka, who's pregnant, very pregnant at the moment, Durotan's like, can you hide your fat belly? And she's like, better than you can hide that fat head of yours, you dick. And it's good. They've got banter. It feels nice. They're people. And so he's like, you know, she wants to go through with Durotan because she wants him to be there to name the baby. when he comes.
Is it still a very is a very patriarchal society is how they're painting it, though? Like, dudes in charge?
I mean, less so. It feels like a tribal society. There's clans. They talk about, you know, I've never seen this many clans in one place before.
Yeah.
And so it's they're all there. Something big's happening. You get that you've joined these people at a time of change.
Okay.
So they go through the dark portal, which is amazing. It's like they step through and then it's like they're swimming underwater and they're just like, whoa, what's going on? And then like trees are going past them.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly Draka starts grabbing at her belly like, oh my God. Ah.
Because the portal.
She's gone through the dark portal and she's got a baby.
Yeah, she's got a kid.
And this is all dark, foul magic. It's paid for in life.
Sure.
So she gets to the other end. And they are crawling out of a lake. And the dark portal basically on the other side was the lake of the Black Morass.
Oh.
And the trees that were going past them were literally trees that falling in from the side of the lake. And it's beautiful. You just see all these things coming in. And it kind of flips perspective from walking in horizontally to swimming up and then crawling out of this lake.
Yeah.
And so all the orcs then are on the side of the lake. And you've got the brown orcs, which are the Frostwolf clan, the only clans not to imbue the fell magic yet. And then all these other green orcs. And Draka's there, and she's like, "Ah!" And it's like, "Oh, you brought a pregnant woman through." Clancy Brown gets all Quincy Brown.
Clancy. Yeah,
he gets all like angry. Black Hands, like, "Why'd you bring her? Oh, well, you know, you dick, man. We've only got enough of the best warriors, and you bring her along." Anyway.
He was the voice of Thrall in the old
in the Adventures.
The Adventure game that never happened. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. And so. So anyway, so she's there. She gives birth on the side of the swamp and the baby's dead.
Oh.
And you're like, holy crap. So is Thrall not in this continuity?
Yeah.
And basically, it's like, you know, it's this husk of things. Gul'dan walks over, picks this baby orc up in his hand. And then over in the far side, he sees a doe or deer.
Yeah.
And he sucks the life out of the deer with his fell magic and then breathes it into the baby. Which we know as Thrall.
Is that why Thrall is green?
And then he turns green.
Why is that funny to me? That's funny to me.
It's I don't know. And it's powerful. And then it's this sort of thing where it's like, ah, crap. I mean, like, this is something that they've chosen not to be a part of. But now it's saved their child, their son. Okay.
Right.
And it kind of sets the tone of like, wow, you know, this is something serious.
Yeah.
Then. So the orcs are now in Azeroth. The next thing we see is Lothar, Anduin Lothar, who is leader of the armies of Stormwind, and he is in Ironforge. And you see Ironforge with all the forges. It's beautiful. He's there with a dwarf. I don't think it's Magni, but I don't want to sound super racist, but they all do look alike. basically, he goes like, "Oh, you're gonna like this one, Lothar."
Uh-huh.
It's called a boomstick. And he gives him a small pistol. I say a small pistol. It's like a blunderbuss pistol.
Okay.
Like he's aiming with it and saying, this is, you know, what does it do? Then a dwarf runs in out of breath and he's like, "Lothar, I got a message for you." And he's like, "Oh, what is it?" "It's the king. He wants you back in Stormwind." And he's like, "Okay, sweet." And then whoosh, we start going through the most intense 20 minutes of film that you will experience, because I don't know if the studio of Blizzard said, "Guys, make sure you get the whole world of Warcraft in there. It's got to seem like a world," because it's just like, you know, each shot has a new subtitle underneath it of like, you know, it's Ironforge, Elwyn, Stormwind, Darkshire. And you just got, you know, all these names coming up. You're like, "Oh shit, where are we now?"
Is it all Eastern Kingdoms? All Eastern Kingdoms.
This
right?
is, yeah. And because Kalimdor's not been discovered
yet. Yeah, it's not even a thing.
We don't know about the Night Elves. We don't know about the Tauren, the Quillbor.
Right.
I know.
Right. The Quillbor.
So we're there. And so the next shot is, it says Goldshire. So we're going to Goldshire.
Yeah.
And I was thinking like, oh man, we better see some people doing it. Or like a guy dancing on a mailbox.
Yeah.
But we don't. What we get as we pan across this lake, as this horse rides in, is a Murloc.
No way.
And it's like, oh, shit, there's a Murloc. And it uses the exact same sound from the game. And
does it feel a little, is it like the Wilhelm scream kind of?
But exactly. For me, it brought me out a bit. Each of the nods brought me out a bit. But then you kind of smile a bit to yourself like, oh, okay, cool. Because it's still, at the same time, I'm still like just loving the fact that my world's alive. Yeah. This is the game I've played for a decade, over a decade now, and it's breathing. Yeah. And it is real. These characters are riding around. Anyway, you go into the Lion's Pride Inn, the site of many a cyber sexing, and you've got King Lane in there with his queen and a Stormwind regiment of guards. And Lothar comes in. He's like, "Hey, what's up, King?" And he's like, "You know, a whole barracks been destroyed." And it's like, "Well, a whole barracks? What, just disappeared?" It's like, "Yeah, yes, just raiders took it out. We don't know who they are."
At this point, they think it's other humans or something, like,
because they don't know. They've never encountered orcs before. They don't know what's going on.
Right.
But they're like, "But we found this guy poking around the bodies." And you're thinking like, "Oh no, who's this going to be?" And so it is a young mage by the name of Khadgar.
Ah.
So Khadgar is a guardian, or was a guardian, or guardian in training. And so he's kind of renounced his vows. He's decided he didn't want to do that anymore. So he's kind of been kicked out of the Kirin Tor. But he can't ignore his training and his skills. And he's drawn to the site of this attack because he senses that something wrong was there. And basically, he asks Lothar to inspect the bodies and does so. And in so, reveals Fel. Mm. Fel magic, the Fel, has been used. And he's like, "The Fel on Azeroth?"
Oh, so they know, so they're familiar with the Fel.
They're aware of the Fel.
Yeah.
But at the same time, no one really is. And he's like, "Well, what does that mean?" Lothar says. And he says, "This isn't for me to talk about. We need to go to the Guardian."
Oh, I see. Because they're going to know. Yeah.
Exactly. So the Guardian is... Medivh,
yeah. Do they call him Medivh or just the Guardian?
Yes. Well, okay. They call him Medivh and the Guardian.
Okay.
But the thing is, so they go and talk to King Lane, and they're like, the Guardian hasn't been seen for years. And he's still like, well, he can't ignore this. He takes his ring off and gives it to Lothar and says, his king summons him. And this is a thing where, again, from the lore, King Lane, Anduin Lothar, and Medivh actually grew up together and were like the best of friends.
Yeah.
And they all like hung out and, you know, were BFFs, but as they've grown up, Medivh's become reclusive.
Yeah,
and it's, you know, I think the weight of so many innocents on his shoulders weighs heavy on him.
Yeah, he's like, he's Obi-Wan Kenobi. He's got to go hide in a cave.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So then we get this sweet thing where Lothar hops on top of a griffin and says to Khadgar, "Hop on." He's like, "Oh, cool." And so then they fly off to Karazhan.
Yeah.
Another subtitle, Karazhan.
How much gold did they have to pay to the
writer? I don't know. It's his. He's got his own flying mount. But, you know, somehow he could fly in vanilla. I was like, what?
Weird.
Anyway, so then we're in Karazhan. Now, Karazhan, we're greeted by none other than Morose. So Morose, as you might remember from Karazhan, the encounter at the banquet, Morose is like Medivh's assistant.
Right. Like a butler, almost, kind of.
And so he greets him and says, "Oh, it's great. The Guardian's been really distant. It'd be good to see a friendly face." He's up the top of his tower. Cue a kind of funny moment when Lothar's all out of breath, climbing about a billion steps, which is kind of like, at the same time, it's funny. And then at one level, you're like, I thought he's like super fit, like army man. But anyway, so he climbs up all these steps, and at the top, you see this.
And this is Travis Fimmel.
You see a topless travel Fimmel at the top, crafting a clay golem. And he says, "Normally it takes, you know, centuries or decades for the magic to permeate the clay, but up here, this golem will be, you know, magic in no time."
Oh, you mean Ben Foster? That's who
Ben
that is.
Ben Foster, sorry, yeah. And then Travis is, sorry, Lothar.
The Lothar, yeah.
Yeah. So they go up there. He's like, "Your king summons you." And he's like, "Okay, who's the guy downstairs?" And they left Khadgar downstairs.
Yeah.
So then what we see downstairs is Khadgar's, his Kirin Tor tattoo starts glowing. And he thinks he sees like this like weird ghostly figure, which then disappears into a book. And then when he puts his arm in front of the book, his tattoo glows.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
It's a little Harry Potter there with the tattoo.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. So he grabs the book. And Medivh comes along, so he kind of stashes the book, and Medivh like throws him against the wall using magic.
Oh, being right, like, holds him up there. We've seen that clip where he holds him up.
He's
the blue,
like, "You try to take my job?" Yeah. And he's like, "No, Guardian, I don't." And at the same time, you're kind of like, "Why? Who? Why does he want his job? Does he want his job?"
Yeah.
I don't know if he does. Medivh seems kind of unnecessarily pissed that Khadgar's there, but then at the same time, kind of is like, "Ah, that's okay. Like, come on, then, let's go to Stormwind," and does a teleport spell, and they do it quite cool, like they. makes a circle on the ground around him, like kind of summons like this blue magic into a point in front of him and kind of just boosh. And then they appear in the throne room.
Boy, that seems a lot easier than killing a bunch of Draenei to get a giant portal going.
You know, oh, exactly. This is site to site. This isn't world to world.
Oh, okay.
So he's going from Karazhan to Stormwind.
All right.
And he's boom, right in there. He's like, King Lane, how you doing? My king. This is a serious thing.
Is he wearing the weird feather shoulder things?
Yep. And he's got the staff of Atesh as well.
Sweet.
Atesh. So then they're talking, he's saying, like, look, we've got to find out who's doing this. We gotta have our own little, raiding party. Let's go out and let's try and see if we can capture some of whoever this is that's using this fell magic. So they go on there, and then you get to the bit in the trailers where the orcs, you've got Blackhand throws a horse.
Oh, there's like a fight in the woods.
Exactly, like orcish ambush. Yeah. So they stop this tree and it's like all crackling with green energy. And Medivh's like, oh my God, this is the fell in Azeroth? this is messed up. And then Khadgar's like, guys, I think there's... And then all these orcs come in and like these Stormwind guards just get destroyed.
Yeah.
And so Medivh starts chanting some incantation, just starts cooking something up. Well, Khadgar pops a bubble around him. And Durotan's there, and he like comes up to Khadgar's bubble, and it's like, "Well, this is weird, man. This is weird." And then Medivh finishes his spell, and then all of the green orcs like implode. So basically, he's found a way to like kill fell infused things.
Yeah.
So it takes it all out of him. Like he's like he uses up all of his mana. He goes oom. But all of the green orcs just kind of explode.
Yeah.
Blackhand fights with Lothar. Blackhand's a brown orc, by the way.
Oh.
Him and Durotan and Doomhammer, Orgrim Doomhammer, they're all brown. So they haven't been fell infused yet.
Right, but that's why that's the thing. Was that the story in the game as to why the orcs were green?
The orcs drank the blood.
I couldn't remember that. Oh, that's right. And that turned them
so
all.
So they had demon blood, whereas here it's just being infused by the fell.
Got it.
So it's basically Gul'dan shooting them with a green laser beam.
Right.
Anyway,
so they don't have anything to do with what's his name's dad.
Hellscream?
The Hellscreams are not represented.
That's the thing. So what you see, so Grom is a Frostwolf, and you will see Grom Hellscream. You will see Khadgar Bladefist, or Khargath Bladefist, even, sorry. You will see Kilrog Deadeye. You will see these famous orcs that we remember from the old games and from Warlords of Draenor.
Yeah.
But they will not say a word.
Oh, really?
So it's weird. Like I said, it's like, oh my God, that's Grom Hellscream.
How do you know it's Khadgar Bladefist? Because
you see him. He is like gray, whitey orc, like in the game.
Yeah.
And has a big blade on his hand. So
I'm all excited about that. I don't know why.
So it's cool scene. Honestly, I really like that. So Blackhand is tumbling with Lothar. It's all getting a bit, kind of heavy back and forth. And Lothar uses his boomstick. Okay. Like, Blackhand grabs the end of the gun. Lothar pulls the trigger, blows his hand off.
Oh, dude.
It's just, and that's the thing. So that's how Blackhand loses his hand. Lothar, is both of them are very surprised at what a boomstick does.
Yeah.
They're like, holy moly.
Yeah, man. We've invented firearms
guns
here.
Exactly. Sure. Bam. This is amazing. So the brown orcs that are left, which is basically Orgrim, Doomhammer, Durotan, and Warchief Blackhand, retreat. They steal a horse, they jump on some wolves, and they retreat.
Okay. And these wolves are cool, big giant wolves?
Massive wolves.
Oh, yeah.
That's and they cool. look cool. So they're racing off.
Yeah.
And then Lothar's like, guys, we need a prisoner. Let's run after him. So they're all running away. Durotan sees Garona trying to pull. She's in another encampment bit where the orcs around her have been blown up by Medivh as well. Mm. And so she's trying to break free of this chain. So he pulls his axe out, swings it down at her and breaks the chain and then rides off. Lothar chases down this other orc manages to knock him off his wolf and knocks him out. And then his wolf comes along and he's all like, oh, don't come any further. I'll kill your master. And the wolf's like, oh, okay, screw it, and runs off. So then they've caught themselves a big, angry brown orc. He doesn't have a name.
He's just a red shirt.
He's just a guy.
Okay.
And then Khadgar captures Garona. So he captures her and he's all like, guys, I got one. And they're like, oh, you got the runt of the litter. Because she's just this tiny little half orc, half human orc lady.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then they're going back to the to Stormwind. So they've got her and this brown orc in the back of a truck. And they're riding it back. And he's like, don't you tell him anything. And she's like, she's talking to Lothar. Now, it's a really clever scene because they basically switch between the different languages and she's our bridge. So you'll hear the
orcs. I wonder how they were going to handle that. That's interesting.
It's really cleverly done.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like Red October, but without, I don't mean it in like an insulting way. Like in Red October, they're all speaking Russian mm-hmm. and then they kind of zoom into them mm-hmm. and then, oh yeah, I'm Sean Connery now. Yeah. And it's kind of like that in that when the perspective of the character that speaks a language is at the focus, and like so when Garona's talking to the orc, you'll hear that in English, but when she's talking to Lothar, you'll hear that in English, and the orc will sound like blah 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 and stuff like that, and you'd be like, oh, what's that guy saying?
Yeah.
And then equally, when she's talking to the orc, Lothar will sound like Ilioth, and it's kind of, but it's cool. Like it isn't cheesy.
I like that.
That's a really nice touch in that bit. Mm. Anyway, long story short, Lothar ends up saving Garona from this orc who gets really pissed off that she's talking to the
humans.
Then
they fall in love, right? Isn't there a deal there?
That's where it's heading. So yeah. She comes back. She meets King Lane. She says, look, you know, these people are, you know, they're orcs, but they are... you know, they've come from this. She's going to help him out. And he's like, well, stay a night in the cells and we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
The story progresses and Khadgar starts doing a bit more investigating in this book that he got from Medivh. And it's starting to tell him a few things about like the dark portal. And it says about, you know, you should search for Aliod, I think her name is. I forget. It's like the first guardian's name.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they carry on. Durotan is chatting to Ogrim and he's like, look, isn't it a bit weird how, like, you know, Draenor kind of started to fall to crap when Gul'dan came to power? And Ogrim's like, one orc can't destroy a world. And it's like, but I don't know, like, look here. And then, like, the camera pans around and basically wherever the orcs have been, it's just, like, rotten.
Oh, yeah, there's this, I think I've seen the preview scene of that, yeah.
And then everything else is, like, lush and green. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, man, maybe the Feld's not really good. And he's like, you know, well, we need to stop it. And then Ogrim's like, well, we can't. There's no way we can overthrow Durotan. Gul'dan.
Gul'dan, yeah.
Durotan says, well, with the humans' help, maybe we can.
Maybe we can.
So maybe we can. Yeah. So then they set up this meeting.
Yeah.
And so they meet at Blackrock Mountain. And
is this consistent with Warcraft 1, Orcs and Humans?
Which is not really.
Okay.
That bit's kind of changed. There wasn't as much cooperation between the factions.
Yeah.
But kind of beat-wise so far, we kind of hit with the stride of it. So they meet at the mountain.
The meeting stone.
And the meeting stone. Yeah. There is a meeting stone in there as well,
actually.
Oh, my
lord, really? Really?
Yeah, but it's fine. It's just in the background. It's fine.
Okay.
But not at this bit, but in general.
Right.
So then they meet there, and they're like, sweet, let's do it. But it turns out that Ogrim Doomhammer's ratted them out. He's like, shit. And so it's an ambush. So Blackhand's there, load of other walks there. It all goes cray. Okay. Medivh shows up. And Medivh puts down a massive lightning wall to separate the fight and kind of, you know, allow the humans to retreat. But he traps Lothar's son on the other side of the wall, inadvertently,
with
a load of other Stormwind guys.
Yep.
Lothar tries to get to him, can't. Blackhand is there. Now, he's obviously lost his hand now, and he's just got, like, this big dagger in place of it, this big spike, and runs it through Lothar's son whilst looking at Lothar, being like, I understand. You took my hand. I've just taken your son. So it's like, whoa. So then Lothar's really annoyed and you know, he gets drunk. Garona's really upset because she's like, ah, shit, Lothar's going to blame me now because I kind of vouch for Durotan and this whole alliance thing. And it didn't work out. And now his son's dead. And Medivh keeps kind of getting wiped out. He keeps going back to Karazhan to kind of sit in his magical pond and recharge his batteries.
Sure.
So we're at this place now where the orcs have really made quite a few inroads into the world.
Yeah.
And we're now We've got both sides kind of wondering what to do next.
So have they established, so here's a, this is my, just a curious question. If they didn't have enough fell or whatever on the other side, or didn't have enough victims to get enough people, the entire horde through the portal, mm-hmm. do they have enough though that they can wage a decent war, or is it just because they're all 10 foot tall and that's enough? Or?
Exactly, they are. They outmatch every human, and also they've had the element of surprise up until this point. Okay. You know, they've just been this thing the humans don't know what they are or how to deal with them or what. At this encounter, they do a lot better than they did on the first encounter. Like they form up a shield wall, they start to work together, the humans, and they start to be able to fend off the orcs a bit more.
Yeah.
But anyway, so this then progresses, and we get to the kind of next stage where it's revealed that the orcs were invited to Azeroth. And it turns out that, so Khadgar's like, holy shit. And Medivh gets all pissed, burns all of Khadgar's research, and it's just like, you stole my book, you're a dick. And
wait, really, but weird. who are they accusing of, who's accused of doing it?
Well, that's the thing, is they're not sure, but Khadgar's got his suspicions. So he leaves and goes to Dalaran.
Yeah.
Now, Dalaran is a floating city in the sky.
Now, hold on. Back of that truck up. Yeah. I thought that was in the ground until...
Exactly. And Arthas trashed it. And then in Wrath of Lich King, they ripped it out of the ground and put it up in the sky up in Northrend. And also, we're going to be playing with it in the sky in Legion.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's our new hub city.
Again, what they decided was, that's really freaking cool. Yeah. A big flying city.
Yeah.
So anyway...
Hard to deny them that, you know? I mean,
exactly. It's cool. You can live with it. It's great. So we land in Dalaran. It's kind of as you kind of remember it, but not as faithful as some of the other sets.
Yeah.
And he goes up to the Kirin Tor. And I'm pretty sure it's Archmage Antonidas. He doesn't have as long a white beard, but he's kind of got glowing blue eyes and a kind of white goatee. And he's Welsh for some reason.
Oh, all right.
But anyway, so he's like... he says the name Aladai, and Khadgar's like, oh, you shouldn't know what that is. Come with me. But he's still a bit like, Khadgar, you've got some gall coming back here. You know, you left. You don't come back, you bastard. Anyway, so it's this big giant cube. It's this amazing cube that's kind of floating around with all these mages kind of firing some spells at it. And you're wondering, like, what the heck is this? And then suddenly it stops and a doorway opens. And Khadgar's like, do I go in? And then Antonidas delivers one of the best lines in the film that I don't want to. I mean, I'm spoiling. I've literally. Oh, this isn't even a review. This is just me telling you the film.
Yeah, now. I'm getting step by step here. I'm really enjoying this.
He delivers a great line that I won't ruin for you, but I guarantee you, everyone laughs, okay. Including you. All it's right. Genius. Khadgar goes in and he finds this old woman inside in a robe, and she's Aladai, and she was the first guardian. In the comics, it was a man, but it doesn't matter. And she's all like, look, Medivh has been compromised, basically. He was the one who invited the orcs through. He's working with the demons and Gul'dan. He needs to be stopped. So Khadgar comes out. He's like, oh my, geez, what? No way. What? Really? And so then while this is happening, Medivh's kind of recharged from his font of power, but he sat in it and it's all it was blue. And now it's turned green.
Oh,
the color of fell. And
the fell,
Morose is like, oh, are you okay? And he's like, oh, I'm starting to feel far more myself.
I took a big green shit.
And then drains all the life out of Morose.
Oh, Morose no.
Bam. No. You're like, oh, shit, he's turned bad guy.
Yeah.
And then his face turns into something similar of Davy Jones's crew in... Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, like they're undead in the light, in the moonlight or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. It's really weird, sort of like kind of like barnacly weird skin, just a bit disfigured, and like his beard goes a bit funky and you're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
And he turns into like this weird, scary, zombie-y, demon-y looking face.
I like Ben Foster a lot. I'm excited to see him in that state.
Now he changes back into his state and goes to Stormwind, where they're saying like, look, I reckon if we just put all of our guys here, we can hold them off. And then Medivh comes in and says, look, guys, just got off the phone with Durotan. It's back on. We're all good. We need to send all our forces to the portal. We're going to take out that and we're going to save the day. And Lane's like, oh, well, sweet. If that's what you say, then yeah, of course, let's do that. Lofeld's like, "Yeah, you're crazy." And they're like, "Look, you lost your son. You're mad. You need a timeout. We're going to put you in the stockades." So we get to see the stockades. So that's the kind of setup. Meanwhile, on the orc side, Durotan's been captured. He's been put into the orc prison.
The orcs have done it though.
Yeah, the orcs have captured.
Because he's basically talking mutiny at this point.
Exactly. Yeah. And Draka, she's like, "Oh, I should have cut you, Ogrim." And he's like, "Yeah, you probably should, but I'm gonna let you go. You know, get away from here." So she takes little baby Thrall and runs off.
Okay, where is Thrall? Oh, so she's with him. Okay.
She's with
Thrall. All right, I was worried he was in like some basket somewhere.
So then Ogrim comes along to the cage where Durotan's been held, knocks out the guard. And you're like, "Hang on, which side are you on, man?" And he's all like, "Yeah, I kind of messed up. You know, I shouldn't have joined with Gul'dan. That was a stupid move of me." He's like, "If the people see how false Gul'dan is, they won't follow him anymore."
Yeah.
And Durotan's like, "Yeah, I can show them that. Don't you worry." So then we queue up a big showdown.
And by the way, he is big buddies with Orgrim, right? Those two are inseparable.
They're BFFs.
Okay.
BFFs. All right. So Orgrim is played by Rob Kaczynski, who's a massive Warcraft player, played lots. Toby Kebbell, though, obviously from Planet of the Apes, motion capture fame, and Fantastic Four, Doctor Doom. We didn't talk about that as much.
Doctor Doom was terrible. He was great as him, but the movie he was in was bad.
Yeah, was
but
terrible.
That guy's
anyway,
great. Oh my gosh,
the first half, three quarters of that film is quite good.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we have a Mok Grothar, something we know of in the books, and we've seen we had Thrall versus Garrosh in Draenor.
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost like a Klingon rite of passage battle.
Exactly. It's meant to be an honorable battle between two combatants.
Yeah.
And you're not meant to use weapons.
Yeah.
Normally. Anyway, so Durotan, he's a smaller orc. He's a young orc. Goes up against Gul'dan, who challenges him. And Gul'dan's like, "Yeah, bring it. I will destroy you." And Gul'dan's like this hunched over, he looks old, and he's wearing like this sort of like bony shoulder headdressy thing,
sure, with all his like skulls on it and all that stuff.
Exactly. So he stands up, he rises up from being hunched over, and his kind of robes fall off him, and you see that these big horns and spikes are part of him, and they're kind of coming out of his back, and he looks pretty scary. But anyway, Durotan runs at him, starts wailing on him, punches the crap out of him, and you're like, "Holy crap, he's gonna do it, he's gonna save the day, because he's the righteous one, he deserves to." Then Gul'dan draws his life force out using the fell and starts to kind of, you know, melt him, and
total warlock move,
they get broken apart, and some of the people in the crowd are like, "Gul'dan cheats," and he's like, "Ah." Now he is at the same time needing to open the dark pool. And he's like, "Guys, man, I can't be messing around too much longer." So he decides, screw it. And he just straight up sucks all the life out of Durotan, just turns him into a husk.
Oh, man.
And so Durotan fights valiantly, that's the word I was looking for, right up until the end, and gives his life to try and show the orcs how false and crap Gul'dan is.
Hold on, Durotan dies in this?
Yep.
This is the death of Durotan.
This is.
Damn. Is that matched with the old story? I don't remember this.
That is, yeah. He didn't live. He died in a slightly different way, but he died.
How did he die in the game? What was that?
I think it was him and Draka got taken out on a convoy as a party or something like that.
No, that's less exciting.
But that's the thing. So the orcs are like, "You know, Gul'dan, you're a scumbag. We're not following you."
Yeah.
And he's like, "Well, I have no time for this. The portal's opening." And then straight up just like kills two orcs, just bam, just like blows them up with some fell magic.
Wow.
And he's like, "Does anyone else have a problem?" And they're like,
"Back to work."
And you know, and so it's like, oh shit.
Job's
so,
done. Yeah.
Exactly. It's just like nuts. So now that was kind of all for nothing in some ways, it feels. Ogrim goes, he's like, "Well, screw you, I'm not following you, and you can't touch me. I'm Ogrim Doomhammer." So he goes off.
So he runs out to regroup and figure out what the hell they're going to do.
Yeah, he just kind of waltzes off. He's just like, you know, "This is my friend you killed." So then we cut to Draka. She's running from the orcs. They're chasing her down. She puts Thrall, baby Thrall, into... He's called Goel, though, obviously. We know him as
Thrall. Oh, yeah. Goel. Well, his current wife calls him Goel all the time.
Exactly. And that's the name that his name, and was given to him by Durotan.
Yeah.
So she puts him in the river, and an orc finds her. She fights with the orc, kills the orc, but in doing so, herself gets killed and stabbed. So now thralls, both of Goel's parents are dead.
Oh crap! Okay, but do they show the a part where a human finds the basket and gets him?
I'll come on to that.
Okay.
So we've now got the Alliance forces are massing and heading towards the blasted lands, and the orcs are getting ready to open the portal. Now the way the portal works is both Medivh and Gul'dan both need to be chanting the incantation at the same time.
Right.
So Medivh's back at the top of Karazhan, looking all zombie-like, and he is, and Khadgar comes back. So we cut to Lothar in the stockades. He's like, look, man, I'm sorry. Can you let me out? Mm. And the guard's like, nope, I got orders. And then he's like, come on. And then all of a sudden, meh, he gets turned into a sheep. And Khadgar runs in and says, only works on the weak-minded. Look, here's your gear. We're getting out of here.
No way. So, he totally polymorphs him.
Polymorphs a guard.
Freaking amazing.
So then he breaks Lothar out and he says, look, we got to stop Medivh. And he's like, no, I need to go to the battle. You know, he's like, look, if we don't stop Medivh, the whole of Azeroth is going to be overrun with orcs.
Yeah.
We need to do that here. You know, your country, your people, the world needs you. So they hop on, they teleport over to Karazhan, and they face off against kind of zombie demon Medivh. And basically Khadgar's like, look, Lothar, you just need to distract him long enough to stop him talking. That's what we need to do.
Lothar and Khadgar and Orgrim working together. That sounds like a blast to me. Oh, no, Lothar, you said.
And Lothar, yeah.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. For a minute, I thought we had some orc-human
We don't get any more orc-human stuff, really.
Okay, all right.
So Khadgar and Lothar are working together, and they're fighting Medivh, but Medivh's obviously super powerful. So Medivh's also like, look, I got to chant this thing. My golem that I was making at the beginning, he can mess you up. So then this giant clay golem starts animating and starts kind of coming after Lothar. Lothar fights him, ends up, you know, kind of beating him, destroying him, kind of like ripping his head off using some clay tools. It works in the film. And then Khadgar's like, sweet, good work, chopping his head off like that. Now the golem can't see where he's going. Smart move. And Lothar was like, oh, yeah, totally planned that. Yeah. And he's like, right, all you need to do now, Lothar, is get Medivh to go into the pool. You just get him in that magic pool and we can sort him. And it's like, oh, well, that how hard can that be? Yeah, sure. So he goes up, starts kind of walking up to him, gets thrown away with magic and starts taunting Medivh. And Medivh then says, all right, screw it, let's do this. Starts walking towards him and through the magic pool. And in doing so, he starts to transform more. And he takes on this big horned demon with these, you know, all these spikes and fur and everything coming out of it. This hulking great big demon. And he looks kind of like a satyr in WoW, kind of towards that, but human. And from what we understand of the books, Medivh was possessed or had an element of Sargeras, the leader of the Burning Legion,
right,
inside him from when his mother, Marwen, fought the Avatar Sargeras. Now, a lot of this will make sense when we play Legion, because the Tomb of Sargeras is where Legion takes place.
Right.
And that's where the Avatar Sargeras is stored on Azeroth.
It's also where what's his beak goes down and revives Illidan.
Yeah, so that's where Gul'dan revives Illidan. He is stored around that area as well.
Yeah.
So all of this is going on. So now we've got this big Sargeras-style Medivh, and he's about to lay some smack down. Then Khadgar lures the clay golem over to him and casts a teleport spell and basically drops this golem on top of Medivh.
Wow.
So Medivh gets kind of crushed almost, but is still kind of fighting. So then Khadgar goes kind of one-on-one, starts using his magic, but starts getting tainted himself and his eyes turn green with all this fell magic that's going around. But then Khadgar, and I shit you not now, dings. And so basically you get the
really?
and a big orange glow sort of thing, okay, as he kind of finally defeats Medivh.
That's amazing.
It's a big blinding light, and Medivh is kind of returned to his normal looking face, albeit dying.
Yeah.
And Khadgar has cleansed himself of any fel that he did pick up at that time.
But they don't kill Medivh in this.
So yeah, Medivh is dead.
But he's big time in Warcraft 3 and other stuff. Like, you can't just
But he died in the original one as well. But he came back in Warcraft 3.
Oh, like, I didn't know that. See, I am so rusty on Warcraft 1 and 2. It's weird.
Yeah. Anyway, so we go back to the Dark Portal. Now, the humans are there. They've been led actually by King Lane himself. Because Lothar's in the thing, in the stockades, King Lane's like, I'll lead the troops. That's cool. They get there. The first thing they see is a load of Frostwolves kind of hung up. They're dead, just strung up, like crucified. And they're like, oh, well, I guess we can't count on their help. And it's like, uh-oh, the portal's going. So this is all happening whilst this other fight I just described happened. And so the portal fires up as Medivh and Gul'dan are both chanting and doing it. Uh-huh. And more orcs start coming through. And every orc that comes through gets instantly transformed by the fel. So they become green orcs, big hulking, war-crazed, death, blood-rage-filled orcs. And it's like, ah, crap. So the humans, they start just like, okay, right, well, we got to try and free as many of these other, you know, prisoners as we can. We need to try and fight these guys off. So they're like, we just got to hold off till Medivh gets here. They don't obviously know that Medivh's the one that's kind of making it all possible. So what happens then? They fight them all back, and when Medivh gets killed or defeated, the portal shuts off, and they start getting more of an upper hand. Then Medivh, being of his sound mind again, starts chanting to make a Stormwind portal. So the Dark Portal fires up again, but on the other side, rather than it being Draenor, is Stormwind.
Oh, so what, did you send him right into town, though?
So the idea there is, it's like, look, humans, escape. You can get out of here.
I see.
And so the Stormwind guards start freeing all the prisoners. They start running through the Dark Portal. They all go into Stormwind. All the troops are kind of, they've got the high ground there. But then Medivh dies and the portal fails. And the last bastion of humans are left with King Lane, Garona, and some of the other humans. And King Lane turns to Garona and he says, look, we're going to die. Okay, that's a given. But if you kill me, you'll live and you'll be held as a hero amongst your people. You can still bring peace. You know, if you live, there's still hope.
Yeah.
So kill me. Yeah. And she's like, I can't do that. You're my friend. No, I'm not. I can't. And he's like, look, you got to do it. And so then Blackhand starts coming for him. And he's been transformed by the fel at this point. So he's an even bigger hulking green orc now. And his missing hand is more scaled and bony and gnarled. And he's coming.
Does he have the weapon? He has a weapon that's
No, he doesn't have the big hammer or anything. He doesn't look anything like the Draenor Blackhand, which was a really cool one.
That's too bad. I really like that.
Yeah, he looks amazing in that. But anyway, so he's coming for King Lane, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to kill you. But then Garona stabs him in the neck and kills King Lane. And she's crying the whole time. But then the orcs are like, Garona killed the chieftain. Hey! And they're like, okay, cool. I guess Garona's not that bad after all. You know, so she's now won their favor. Meanwhile, Lothar flies in on a griffin. You would have seen it in the trailers. Kind of swoops in. His griffin just messes up a load of orcs. Like, literally just flies in, just starts ripping them apart, throwing people around. He goes to pick up the body of King Lane. He sees the dagger, which was given to Garona, stuck in his neck. And he's like, ah, mother, really? You think you know someone?
Yeah.
And then puts King Lane's body on the back of his griffin and flies off.
Okay.
But just before he can take off, Blackhand grabs up and grabs the foot of this griffin and rips him back down to the ground, knocking the griffin and Lothar unconscious.
Wow, like a big snow monster on Hoth when they're trying to get away with your tauntaun. Just yeah.
Bam.
Yeah.
Bam. So then really cool shot is like your eyes open as you're Lothar and you realize like, oh my God, I'm in the middle of this. And there's King Lane's sword just driven into the floor in front of you. And on the other side is Blackhand, this hulking green monstrosity now. Yeah. And around you is just a circle of orcs just saying, Mokra-ta, Mokra-ta.
Yeah.
And gestures towards the weapon, like, come on then, bring it. And Lothar at this point is like, yeah, bring it, mate. I'm all about this. So they're going to do another Mokra-ta. So he picks up a sword and they just run at each other. Lothar does a sweet kind of knee slide and goes right underneath the middle of between the legs and the groin and basically slices Blackhand's dick right off. I mean, you don't see it, but that's what his sword basically just goes like down the middle and up Blackhand. And then Blackhand like drops to the floor like, oh, my balls. And then he plunges a sword in his back and it's literally a fight that lasts maybe 3, maybe 5 seconds.
Is it like
it's like Achilles in
sure
in,
you get the heel or it's like Indiana Jones and the guy with two
the
swords
gun.
And he just shoots him
kind of that same sort of thing and it's weird because you're like, oh man, I kind of like that to have been a bigger fight, but evidently that was what it was, so that's cool. So then Gul'dan's like, ah man, kill him anyway. And then Garona's like, no, you can't. These are our customs. These are our things. How can you expect your people to follow you if you won't respect our most precious and treasured things? So they're like, ah, fine, screw it. So they let Lothar go with the body of King Lane. He flies off.
Right.
And he's still like, I can't believe Garona killed King Lane. So now we have it. The orcs have been defeated in a way. So their chieftain's gone and the portal has been disabled. So the only orcs in Azeroth now are the ones that are there, that are left.
Okay.
But at what cost? So we fly back to Stormwind. This is where we get like 8 endings. We fly back to Stormwind and they have a funeral for King Lane.
Yeah.
And they say, look, Lothar should lead us for the Alliance. For the Alliance!
Yeah.
And they all cheer there. And then we get the credits.
So it's King it's King Lothar at that point.
It's not King. No, no, no. He is literally just the general.
He's like military leader of the...
Because Varian... Lane's son, as we know, King Varian, is there. He's a small boy, but he's there, so he is the king.
Do you have a scar on his face yet?
No, he doesn't. Not yet. No. But the thing is, so Henry Cavill was at the UK premiere when I was there, so I got to meet Superman, which is kind of cool.
That is cool, yeah.
But he nearly missed the part of Superman because he was raiding in Warcraft.
Yeah, he was playing Warcraft and missed the call or something.
Yeah, he's a huge, huge, huge Warcraft fan.
Yeah.
And I was thinking afterwards, I was thinking, man, he would make a sweet Varian Wrynn.
Oh, he'd make a great Varian Wrynn.
Could you imagine that? Yeah. That'd be amazing.
He's got the accent. He's got the heft.
The
and
build, the, exactly, the look. I don't know. I think he'd be amazing. Anyway, yeah,
he would be really
that's
good.
That's our kind of our film. I have literally, I mean, when we said spoilers, this isn't a review. This is a retelling.
Yeah.
I don't even know if we should put this out, Scott.
No, we should. We're going to be, listen, there'll be another disclaimer at the top of the show
put
before
it, like,
we
I literally
talk.
Say, look, we detail the whole film, so apologies up front.
Yeah, yeah.
Watch it.
I love this kind of Cliff Notes version of it, and it brings up a point that I want to ask you about that came up on the show last week.
Yep.
And I wanted to bring it up again because it has to do specifically with the way Blizzard tells stories and why I think critics don't see it and why you and other players do see it. And I think it's this. Part of it is we're biased as hell and we all love Blizzard. That's part of it. But also a big part of it, I think, is, and I'll repeat, this is a bit of a repeat from last week, people, so if you're listening to this, I apologize, but they understand iconic and they understand character. And that's more important, especially in the games, than perfect, cohesive, plot-driven, beat-by-beat storylines. In other words...
It's gameplay first.
It's gameplay first, right. But it's important for them to say... Like they do it with... I bring up Overwatch as a good example of this because it's even more striking. They have a game without a single-player component, without any sort of backstory in the game itself... But even just playing it without seeing all the animated features or the intro movie or anything, you get a sense of these characters in a way that other game companies don't do very well. There's an iconicness to them. They're tropey often, like Patrick said last week, which I totally agree with. They're full of tropes, but you wrap your head around them quickly, you like them immediately, and you want to know more about them all the time. And I feel like this movie and your retelling of it has assured me that maybe that's the good and the bad of the movie. The good of the movie is that for fans of this stuff who already have embraced the iconicness of these characters, Duncan Jones and crew have gone to lengths to do that, to preserve that.
It is our world.
Yeah.
And it comes alive and it feels Warcraft from beginning to end.
Right.
The best bits are all the Horde bits, all the Orc stuff.
Yeah.
The Orc stuff is amazing.
Yeah.
And at the same time, it's tricky because they've tried to bring in parallels. You know, Lothar has a son. Durotan has a son. Lothar's son gets killed. Lothar, is like, there's, and then I haven't really gone into like Garona and her love story and and how that works, and you know, her bridging the two sides, and that, like, there's lots of subtle themes around it, and there's lots of not so subtle themes.
Yeah.
I think it is a very, very enjoyable film, and it is one that just doesn't do anything but make you excited about jumping back into WoW. Mm. I'm confident it will perform very well financially at the box office, regardless of the critical response. Mm-hmm. And I think it would do more than well enough for them to make the next one.
I worry a little
the
bit.
The next one will be much better.
I worry a little bit that here in the States, I mean, they made a bunch of money internationally already. It opened out of 20 markets, number one in 19 of those 20. Like, that's really a strong showing. I worry here culturally, we tend to give critics a little more credence than in other parts of the world. And so I tend to think American audiences may be a little more hesitant based on those reviews. However, I think the initial blast, like first or second weekend, should be kind of amazing, because what you're going to have is all of the faithful are all going to show up. Everybody who's played WoW at all are going to go. And even if that means third and fourth week are a little dismal, that may be enough to, you know, to argue for sequels. And he's shown interest in that, said a number of times he would gladly do sequels if the film does well.
That's the thing. I think I was very surprised that the critical reception was so poor.
Yeah.
And that's what felt very strange to me, because it was enjoyable. I can understand, like I said, it was very exposition heavy at the beginning. Like, it was bam, 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 this place, story, let's explain this, let's explain that. But it's setting up a world, and it's very hard to do. Lord of the Rings did it, you know, across three films with a much bigger budget and a lot more time in production, and arguably better source material in Tolkien versus, you know,
and games. That's my whole point about iconic versus what Tolkien did. Tolkien made a very different kind of thing. What Metzen and crew have done is created something that is easily accessible, yet can be deep. And also, your imagination plays a giant role in these games. You're meant to see the essence of who Thrall is, and then get behind him in all the ways that you would get behind anybody in a personal way. You build a lot of the world around them in your own head and your own play style, your own whatever. And I think that's hard to do in a movie, or it's hard to do for general audiences who don't care about video games. And it's easy to do for gamers, because we get it immediately. We'll see it and go, oh, okay, I totally get it. I mean, the good side is that the reviews are creeping up as more come in. You know, most of those reviewers are not American press yet, not all of them. I think there's enough chance for this thing to get more sort of even, like in the 40 or 50 range of the percentage on Rotten Tomatoes, for example. But I worry people take that stuff too much to heart, and I really want people to just go and support it. Like, I feel like supporting this movie and getting out of it what we know we're going to get out of it is beneficial to the overall community and culture of what we love about Warcraft in the first place. And I it's not to say that, you know, if it's not for you, people may go and go, ah, it's not for me. Well, that's okay too. And there's plenty of movies I don't like that some people like. But when I heard how much you liked it, that was striking to me, because I tend to trust more than the internet. I trust people I know.
Don't put it all on me, Scott. And listen, I don't want that pressure.
If you don't like it, you don't like it.
That's not my fault.
You have always been, though, a guy, like when you were doing Movielicious and otherwise, you were pretty straight up honest about when you'll see a movie and if you thought it was shite or good or whatever, and you and I tend to agree most of the time. So I've been pretty excited about this, and it's partially why I thought, well, if we sit down and talk about this, I'm going to open myself up to the entire plot willingly, because A, I don't really care about spoilers, but B,
there's not really, I mean, like I said, if you played the games,
yeah,
the same things happen. There's slight nuances along the way, and that, like I said, I think visually you will be lost in the film.
Yeah.
And I think if you make it very clear, please, at the start, Scott, that please don't listen to this unless you've seen the film.
Yeah, of course.
Save it till you've seen it, because yeah, I don't want people to ruin it, or, you know, listen to it knowing that you're going to have it.
Yeah, as long as they know in the getting in, they'll be fine.
But it's, I think for me, I came out of there just being like, that was Azeroth.
Yeah.
That was it. Like, yeah, I saw it. You don't question the scale, the places. They are what they are. And it's exciting to see, you know, the docks in Stormwind. It's exciting to see Elwyn Forest. It's just a load of trees. Mm. But those trees are the right color. They're the right sort of shape. It feels like a massive, giant Elwyn Forest. It's
Any hints of Lordaeron? Any hints of Arthas or his lineage?
No, exactly. So, well, you see there's a council of the Alliance of the other kingdoms, and you see representatives from those other kingdoms. So I think there's probably one from the Gilneans. I think he's quite argumentative if it's the ones I think.
King Tanaris?
Tanaris or whatever. I don't recognize him as him, but who knows? The sigil, I didn't see the Lordaeron sigil properly, but maybe I did. But there's high elves there as well, because we're at this stage in the Alliance where the blood elves aren't blood elves, they're high elves, and the night elves have yet to be discovered. Right. There were some dwarfs. King Magni Bronzebeard was there, and he's got like a couple of lines of just, oh, this is blood, I'm a dwarf! and that's great.
I love that they are just that straight-up ass dwarf type. Character type. I love
and
I think, that.
And they look great. They look amazing. Mm. Like, really, really good.
Yeah.
There's so much cut footage from this film as well, apparently. I think there's like 30 minutes worth of it.
Yeah, he's talking about a big director's
And he says,
cut.
Look, you know, if it does well enough, he's like, this is the hostage that Duncan Jones is holding to the fans. He says, look, if the film does well enough, I'll be able to get the budget to go and finish the special effects on these shots we cut and put them in an extended cut.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think someone said that there were trolls in like a sacking of Stormwind scene.
Oh, no way.
That definitely weren't in it. So I don't know if that was for this film, the next film, or what. But it may have just been for a test, or I don't know. But apparently they filmed that, and they had motion capture people with like long sticks on their arms to make them trolls. So
super cool. I want to see those.
So I don't quite know what we don't see. I think, like I said, I can see some of the complaints that people who don't like it have, but at the same time, it seemed like people who didn't want to see it. I think that's the problem with reviewers, is their job is to go and see a film and give their opinion on it, less so than, oh, that film looks good, I want to see it. And so I think a lot of people were like, I don't like this, this isn't what I wanted, this is bad. People gave it crap because Garona's green, instead of being patent native, you know, black. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, how is an orc? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
You know, it's like people will pick apart for ill-informed reasons as much as they want. I think as a Warcraft fan, you will watch this film and you will have a genuinely good time. It will take you to places you've been before, but in ways you've never seen it. And that alone, I just think, wow, thank you. It's like every time Blizzard does an intro cinematic with something from the game in it, be it, you know, a Tauren shaman in the first one, you're like, oh, that looks so cool. Look at that dwarf hunter with the bear. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I've got a bear. Look how cool the bear looks. Yeah. You know, it's that same magic, but turned up to 10. You know, in the Legion one, seeing Varian Wrynn on top of the Skybreaker, or whatever it's called, you know, the Alliance airship, it's like, man, I have been on that. That is amazing. Look how cool that looks.
Yeah.
That looks amazing. It's real.
Like Genji, you know, and Genji and Hanzo doing their ultimates in the
exactly. Thing. It's like, we've done that thing. That's us. So that's amazing. We're seeing it in a new way.
Yeah.
I feel like this is what that film delivers on. And I think that, like I said, fans of Warcraft should be enjoying
that's
it.
That's all I want. That's all I ever wanted. And I asked, so some months ago, I was talking about renting a theater, which we're doing in a couple of weeks, week and a half. For the movie, and that's all happening and everything, and I had sent there were some very early, like two or three reviews were out and they were all kind of rotten, and I sent a text to Chris Metzen and just said, dude, tell me I'm not crazy for renting this theater. I said, how are we gonna do? And he goes, if you guys are fans of Warcraft, you're gonna freaking love it. Like, it's as simple as that. And everything I've heard since then from fans of Warcraft confirms it, that this is gonna be a movie for Warcraft fans. And if you are a fan of that long lineage of amazing content and incredible gameplay and community and everything else this stuff represents, I think you're probably in safe hands. So go see it and let us know in the feedback and, you know, what you thought of the movie when you got on the other side. And for those of you who did like me and listen to this with, you know, full spoiler ears, I hope you enjoy this. I did. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Hardcore, guys. You know, why'd you do that?
Yeah. I enjoyed the hell out of it. Your play-by-play was...
But like I said, I think what you'll find watching it is I haven't said everything. I pretty much have. But the watching is far more enjoyable than hearing me tell you.
Yeah.
About
it. Yeah. But I like
Have a look and see what references you can spot. There's a fishing bobber. in there somewhere.
Yeah.
And you'll be like, oh my God, that's the fishing barber.
Did you get all attention when they showed the sign or the bulletin board thing in Stormwind to look for all the quests?
No, I wasn't that excited about that. Mm. No, it's funny. I mean, the thing is, so we got to go on set on some of the sets and play with the props and see the sets, and it's impressive. It's really well made. Like King Lane's armor looks amazing.
Yeah.
And you see it in real life and it looks like it's made of plastic. And you're like, how does this look as good on film as I don't get it, but it's just, I guess, how they liked it and all the rest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got to play with the swords. You know, those are made of plastic as well. It's like Chin Beard made it all. You know, it's that they're the same weight. They're cosplay props basically,
right,
on an epic level.
Right.
But it is really cool.
Did you get to keep any of that stuff or no?
No. Yeah. They didn't let us do anything.
Yeah.
I kept a kind of fact sheet that they gave out on it. Well, they had on the table that has like a profile on everyone, so that if you spoke to anyone, apparently you were meant to read it and know, like, oh yeah, Paula, yeah, it's great. How's the family? How was the film that you were last in? It's really silly. But I mean, the cast and stuff that I met were all super lovely and humble. And kind of, I think, genuinely excited to see what people thought of it.
Yeah.
And from all the people I spoke to around me, everyone loved it.
Yeah.
But obviously then you've got like just the naysayers out there.
Well, you got some wiener at a, you know, some New York newspaper talking about a thing he's never set foot in. I don't know how you take that as part of your decision to go or not. You know, like, how can you? There's no pedigree there. There's no whatever. Terpster's been playing this game for 11 years. He really, really liked it. His whole life has been in and out of something to do with Warcraft and Blizzard for the last 10 years in various ways on the side and for jobs. Like, I think that's a better source for me.
But like I said, it isn't a perfect film. You know, there's definitely cheesy bits in there. There's bits that fall flat.
Sure.
There's references that just don't need to be there, or is it in your face?
Mm-hmm.
But that's not to say that everyone is the same. For me, I think
my theater full of people are going to scream and laugh when that Murloc shows up.
And but the thing is, it's like, so the ding thing, I was like, I turned to everyone afterwards, I was like, I can't believe that ding. And they're like, what? And I was like, you know, when Khadgar fought with Eve at the end, he dinged. And they're like, what, did he? I'm like, yeah, did you not get that? And they're like, oh no, I didn't get that. I was like, it was super cringy. And then the next day we were doing this skit with Duncan Jones, and he's like, what do you think of the film? I was like, I loved it, man. It's really good. He's like, Did you get the references? And I was like, yeah, I think I spotted most. I'd probably have to watch it a couple more times to get them all. He's like, did you see the ding? And I was like, oh yeah, it was great. It was amazing. But yeah.
He's pretty proud of that one.
I think so. And I think the thing is that he genuinely does love the game. I think he's much more of an old school Warcraft fan, the RTSs.
Yeah.
I don't think, for example, he would be have clocked in, you know, 100,000 hours in WoW.
Yeah.
I think he's played quite a lot. But I think his heritage is the RTS.
Yeah.
Rob Kaczynski has played a heck of a lot of WoW.
Yeah, he loves it.
And is still playing it and still enjoys it, and that's great. But I don't think brings anything to the character of Ogrim. Mm. You know, I don't see Ogrim, you know, kind of pronouncing stuff. Oh, yeah, that's definitely how you do it.
Right.
Or, you know, like our whole skit we did was about how bad the film would be if it was the game.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. You cannot take something like this and treat it with the same way that you expect WoW to behave.
Sure.
So swings and roundabouts, but yeah, overall really enjoyable film. If I was to score it out of 10, I'd give it an 8.
That's pretty good,
because I think it's super solid as a Warcraft fan. I cannot see how people are giving it like 2s. I think those people are smoking something special, or they're honestly just being like, I don't have enough attention to warrant looking through this. I'm just gonna bow out now.
Yeah.
I think the reality for me is it's a super, super fun experience, and it deserves your time and attention.
And comparing it to Battlefield Earth, I feel like is almost, it's patently offensive, no matter what movie you're comparing it to.
Very rude.
That thing's a piece of shit, and everyone knows it. There's no argument there.
No, exactly.
You know,
well, I don't know. Again, maybe like Scientologists look at that and go like, sweet, that is spot on.
Yeah,
it's
maybe.
Great to see our kind of beliefs come to life on the screen.
Terrible it's like, movie. Really? It's so bad.
But like I said, I just don't know. All I know is, from my perspective, everyone should watch it. All if you right. like WoW, if you listen to this show, you should go see it.
All right, go see it. Let us know what you think. This has been a special episode, and we hope you've enjoyed it. You know,
and if anyone complains about like me literally telling you the story, you can jog on right now, because we warned you at the beginning.
Yeah, you've had...
the double warning.
I will give you a double warning.
Originally, I thought I was just going to kind of go in and talk about a few things, and then I ended up talking about it beat for beat.
I loved it. No. I think it's great. The excitement is palpable, and I think people will probably agree. Let us know what you think there at home, everybody. Thanks so much. We'll be back with a regular episode soon. Until then, everybody, enjoy the movie. Go see it, and we'll see you next time. Bye, Terpster.
Should have already seen it. Don't ruin it. Bye.